Hey, Alex.
Hey, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you doing tonight? Tonight, I was going to say, it's not tonight, it's this morning for you.
That's all right. How's the evening in Bangkok right now? I'm doing well.
It's dark and
There
warm.
you go. Yeah, it's a little warm here in South Texas as well, so it's getting to that point for the summertime, so.
So, are you originally from Texas as well?
No, I'm actually from Arkansas
Okay,
and
interesting.
been in Austin for the last couple years.
Oh, right. You didn't go to school in Texas. Where did you go to school?
Went to a school called Rhodes College in Memphis, Tennessee.
What is Rhodes like?
Probably one of the best decisions I've ever made. It's a small liberal arts college, about 1,600 students. People say it looks like Hogwarts, so it's a bunch of big Gothic architecture buildings. Beautiful, beautiful campus. So yeah, no, I enjoyed it. People are great, so it was a good 4 years.
Yeah, it's funny. I went to a 4-year liberal arts college in Connecticut as well. It was up on a hill. It wasn't Hogwarts, but yeah, it was a bunch of really old buildings too, and it literally had we had 400 kids in every grade, so it was the same thing.
Yeah, I think it's a unique college experience, as opposed to my friends that went to, bigger state schools. I like it quite a bit.
Yeah, so for me as well, right? I have what I call big college envy or big university envy, right? Like I watch Michigan and I watch USC or maybe UCLA and I think, wow, I really wish I could have gone there. I mean, just from a personal perspective, I think I had a much better experience at a smaller place than a larger place.
No, I definitely agree with that for sure. We didn't have a good football team either, but
Yeah, exactly.
we guess had different experiences. So,
So what year did you graduate?
2013.
Okay, so that's a while ago. What did you study when you were in school?
I majored in international studies, and then I minored in Chinese language. So, little mix of both, international political, political history, political science. And then I kind of merged the language into that as well.
So if you're from Arkansas, you went to school in Tennessee, but you must have been exposed to something as either a high schooler or even as a college student that said to you, you should do international studies, but also you should study Chinese. I presume you studied Mandarin, right?
Yes, sir. Yeah. So it was funny story. Back in the fourth grade, they had a summer arts camp at one of the local community colleges that's now a 4-year university in Little Rock. And summer arts camp, 3-day camp, right? And us and all the neighborhood kids went, and you got to pick 3 to 4 different activities that you wanted to pick, right? Guitar, painting, French, and they also had Chinese, right? And so I kind of just took it as a random 3-day exercise, right? And it turned into something I really fell in love with, and yeah, it was great. So started going to, Chinese classes throughout the semester in middle school and high school. So I'd go to baseball practice and go to Chinese class. And so it was kind of a fun time. So that got me to interested in more, global views of what I wanted to do for college and after school. And so that's what got me interested into the kind of the space that I got into.
Was there a big overlap between the kids that played baseball and the kids that studied Mandarin?
Surprisingly, I think so. I think the one thing that is interesting is a lot. Some of my friends, I wouldn't say all, some of my friends didn't go abroad, right? Or they didn't have that sort of, I guess, worldview that some of us had, right? So it was interesting. I was one of the few male students that went abroad. So it's an interesting concept, right? But I mean, back, I guess, whenever I played baseball, I would say there's some similarities, but I think the people that did not have the same sort of view is more of a holistic view, I guess, is how I would phrase it.
Yeah, I mean, when I was in high school, right, I studied French and I was entranced. Like I just loved studying foreign languages. The other choices were Spanish and German, back when I was in high school, Mandarin or Chinese or even Japanese or even any other Asian language really wasn't a choice. I started studying Japanese when I was in college. And I can tell you what it was for me that made me so interested. I loved the characters.
Absolutely.
Does that make sense? I just loved the order. Like, even if it looked the same, if you wrote it in the wrong order, it really wasn't considered correct. And I just loved that concept of the discipline and order around writing the characters, and that every character kind of had meaning in and of itself. So if you just looked at it, you knew what it meant, as opposed to sort of the Roman character set where you really had to put them together and read it per se. And I'm wondering what it was in your first exposure during that sort of 3-day class that said to you, I've got to do more of this.
I kind of shared the same experiences with you. One thing that really stood out to me that it was very artistic, right? You think about Chinese history, calligraphy, you know, things like that. It truly is beautiful, right? I think that's kind of what got me hooked on it. And then as I got older, you know, I'm a musician as well. And so I guess the blend between music and language really hit home for me. I found the characters to be, you know, almost like its own, you know, musical, you know, sense of, you know, of art, right? So it was an interesting kind of, you know, connection or bridge for me as I got older, right? So it made a little bit more sense.
Were you a musician when you were much younger as well? I mean, I noticed that your Skype picture is, I'm presuming that's you playing the saxophone, right?
Yeah, I started around the same time. So they both kind of became big passions of mine.
Were your mom and dad surprised when you said, you know, when you went to that camp? I presume, you know, summer camp, relatively standard no matter where you are in America, right? It's sports and some arts and crafts and some stuff like that. But were they surprised when you came home and said, I really loved this language class and I want to get more involved in studying Mandarin Chinese?
You know, I can't say that they, you know, walked in and they were like, oh yeah, I knew that's exactly what you were going to say today. But I don't think so though. I've always kind of, you know, both my parents are physicians. And so I've always known that I definitely didn't want to do that side of the brain doesn't work very well for me. So, I knew I wanted to do something different. So no, they were very, they're very supportive of it. And, you know, it's funny. Everybody says, well, your parents, they, you know, they made you pick that language, right? And we always joke, my mom, dad, and I, that no, it was my choice, right? And it's something that, you know, they just supported along the way. So I thought it was interesting, right?
Well, it's really interesting, right? Because you come from a family of obviously two well-educated, sort of well-established parents, and the idea that they would have noticed the fact that studying Chinese when you were a younger boy would have been important for your future is something that some parents might have done, right? Stage parents, that type of thing. And yet, even though you didn't figure that out per se, it was interesting enough for you to do it anyway. And that's kind of cool, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, and if I didn't like it, right, that was okay. I actually took a break of language between, I guess, the start of high school and almost to my junior, senior year of high school, right? So, but then I, you know, picked it back up when I got into college. So, yeah, I mean, it's always kind of just been my own journey with it, which I've appreciated.
So was there a good Mandarin program when you were at school as well, when you were college?
There was. Yeah, that was actually one of the reasons why I picked Rhodes, the Chinese program. It's not, you know, it's not, I guess, known in the news, right, like a Middlebury or something like that. But the program, the teachers, the curriculum, the opportunity to study abroad was fantastic.
Yeah, I want to be really clear about this, right? So you mentioned Middlebury. Again, Middlebury runs these really intensive language courses over the summer, right? 10 weeks, you can't speak English when you're there. Well, you can't speak your native language. It's very expensive. But I have this philosophy, right, about learning. And that is, you can go to Middlebury or you can study on your own. But if you really want to learn something, and clearly you really wanted to learn it, you can do it. And you did.
I totally agree with you. It's all about the, you know, I guess the drive and the passion that you have within yourself, right? And, you know, my dad went to a big state school, and he always joked that, you know, doesn't matter if you can afford the book or somehow you get the book in front of you, right? It's up to you to figure out, you know, how much you're going to learn. So, doesn't really matter where you go to school. It's just how much you want to learn.
I love what your dad said. Actually, my best GPA semester was a semester where I literally had no money and couldn't buy any of the books. So I literally had to, I did, I literally, I found a pen on the ground somewhere, I borrowed a notebook from somebody, and I borrowed all the books, and that was my best GPA semester ever, because I was so focused, I was just so determined not to fail, that I had to succeed that semester, and I was actually quite happy when it was over. And but your dad is right, like, you make these choices in life about, what am I going to accomplish, and who am I going to let get in my way?
Right, exactly, absolutely.
Yeah, good for him and good for you for figuring that out as well. So you're in university, right? Did you study abroad when you were in school as well?
I did, yeah. So a couple of times. The first time was the summer after my freshman year of college. The department offered a six-week, what they call like a maymester, right, where, you know, you didn't have to have the language or you could have had all the language skills in the world, but an opportunity to go spend 6 weeks in Tianjin, China. At a school where we did classes and then we traveled for a week or so, right? So that was my first exposure to get to go to China, right? After all this, I guess, summer arts camp and then, you know, reading books and watching, you know, shows, things like that. So that was my first experience with 6 weeks. And then my second time over was the summer after my sophomore year, when I did my internship in Shanghai in 2011.
In 2007, how did you find out about the internship program?
Yeah, so I actually received a scholarship. I was a what they call like a Murdy Buckman scholar at Rhodes, which was the international internship scholarship, which allowed me to pick whatever field I wanted to go to. I had to find all the jobs, right? But it was a funded experience, and so I did some searching on, on the internet, found some people that I knew, and then ended up connecting with Next Step Connections in 2011.
So before I ask you what that was like, right, I'm just really curious if your family was a traveling family. In other words, when you went to China the first time, right after your freshman year, before you
Yeah.
went and did your internship, was that your first time out of the country, out of the region? Like, what was that your first time? Or was your family a traveling family where even as a kid you've been to Europe and some other places prior?
Yeah, no, we've always been, I wouldn't say we're a traveling family per se, but I feel like I was very fortunate to see other parts of the world before I had gone there. So, I'd been to South America, Europe, a couple places in Mexico, Canada. So I was really, been really fortunate, in a short amount of time in my life so far to be able to see a lot of the world. So I think, that has always been able to, I think, prepare me for whatever situation I'm in now or later, right? Is that sort of, understanding people's cultures, understanding people's, where they come from, their values, right? And just kind of seeing how things operate differently has been really good for me. But yeah, no, that was my first time to Asia, or my second time to Asia when I did the internship. But I traveled before.
And how about your mom and dad? Had they been to Asia prior as well, or was that you like the first person in the family to get to China?
First one in the family to get to China, but after my internship, I ended up studying abroad in Beijing at Peking University for a semester after. So I ended up staying from, the start of the summer to the till Christmas. So they came and visited when I was in school.
So can I talk a little bit about the internship? So you sign up for the internship through Next Step. It's 2011. That's a good 7 summers ago. It's a long time ago, right?
Yeah,
And your
absolutely.
internship was in Shanghai?
It was.
So tell me, what was that like? I mean, how do you, and were you in, no, you weren't in Arkansas then. You were flying from Tennessee, I'm presuming, right? What was that flight like? Like, how did you fly into Chicago? Like, what, how did that work?
Man, let me think about that for a second. I'm trying to put all my trips to Asia together.
But it wasn't a direct flight, right?
It was actually that trip was Memphis. So it was Memphis to Chicago. Chicago to
Wow.
Beijing.
Oh, Chicago to Beijing or Chicago to Shanghai?
No, sorry, Chicago, Shanghai. Yeah,
Wow, that's an
for
easy,
summer.
that, those are easy legs.
Yeah, it wasn't too bad at all. Had some other fun, not so fun, I guess, trips to over there, but that one was pretty painless.
Pretty innocuous.
Yeah, that's right. So those are always the best. But yeah, no, it was great. I found Next Step Connections, which, a great program. And they got me involved with a local law firm. So at the time, I was pretty keen on going to law school, right? And so
Got it.
it ended up working at a local law firm called Shanghai Haiyao. They did multiple kinds of law, family practice. So yeah, it was great. So I ended up spending a summer there, kind of doing a bunch of clerical work, did some English translation for them, helped redo the website from English to Chinese and back over. So it helped brushing up the language skills, right? Got me into a work environment that wasn't anything like I was used to, right? Which I thought was really good for me. And then I ended up, kind of really, I guess, getting a very nice, relationship with that group. It's a small kind of knit firm, right? So, ended up taking a big picture when I left and, stayed in touch whenever I was in Beijing and actually visited them back whenever I was in Shanghai for fall break. So it's a fun, fun experience. It's something that, I was very fortunate to do and still, I guess go back to those experiences every once in a while.
What were your Mandarin skills like before you arrived in Shanghai? And was your job mostly performed in English or was it in Chinese?
Yeah, so I would say that my skills were elementary to, intermediate at that point. Actually, when I got to college, I restarted from Chinese 101 to work on my tonal language skills, things like that, to kind of make sure I had the right foundation, even though I had taken classes before. But no, most of the job was in English with my boss at that time. But when I went into meetings, right, or staff meetings, it was all in Mandarin, right? So I actually, funny story, the first meeting that I had was like a Friday meeting for staff, and walked in, I got to introduce myself, but it was all in English, right? But then they said at the last day of your internship, you have to do all this in Mandarin, right, and talk about what you did. So it was always kind of a fun game at the end of the summer. I had to, you know, get ready for my big Friday speech, right? So yeah, it was fun. So I ended up giving that speech in Mandarin at the end of the summer. So kind of, you know, when you immerse yourself in that environment, right, it only really just accelerates the, you know, your goals of improving your language skills.
Right. I mean, I could not agree with you more. The best way to learn really anything is immersive learning, right? Experiential learning. To be there and be involved in it every day is just, that's the way to accelerate stuff. And the fact that you're able to do that is awesome.
Yeah. And I think the other thing too, that, sorry if I could add one more thing, is the idea of, you know, it's okay to mess up, right? And
yeah,
don't be afraid to make mistakes. And I think that's a lesson I take with me everywhere. And especially in Chinese, when you're in front of, you know, 45 people, right? And, you know, you probably said napkin when you meant to say, you know, something else, right? And so it's one of those things you kind of figure out as you go, right? So, but yeah, it was good.
I think we've all been there when you wanted to say, when you didn't want to say napkin and you did.
Boy, isn't that the worst?
But you know what? That's the way you learn, right? Because
absolutely,
it's in a way, it's self-selecting. You never want to make that mistake again, and you just remember every time, like, I just want to make sure that I get the word right. I mean, you have those same experiences where you're standing in a room and everyone says, okay, now this is all going to be in a language that's not your native language. It takes a whole bunch of concentration at first, and after a while, you find yourself dreaming in Mandarin, and then everything seems to go really smoothly, and that's awesome.
Right. Yeah, absolutely.
What are you doing now?
Yeah, so I work at a company called Zilliant. It's a software company based here in Austin, and I run the customer success operations group. So the customer success group is responsible for subscription-based renewals for all of our customers. Wow. And so I work on the operations side of making sure, you know, the right processes are in place internally. You know, we're looking at the right metrics. You know, I'm making sure that we're equipping, you know, our team to be the most efficient to serve customers, things like that. So been here the last couple of years in Austin.
Do you think about your experience in Shanghai and your experiences overseas? One of the things that you said earlier was, you know, one of the benefits of traveling is that it opens you up to different cultures and sort of different customs and allows you to think in a more holistic way. Do you think about your experience when you were in Shanghai sometimes when you're doing your job now and think, yeah, it was so beneficial to me that I still carry some of those things with me today, and I can see them being implemented as I go about my day-to-day work life?
Yeah, absolutely. Most definitely. I mean, I think a little bit less than my first job out of college, where I was, you know, at factories in China sourcing car parts, you know, speaking with, you know, Chinese vendors, you know, doing cost analysis, things like that. I was, you know, which I've appreciated the balance, right? I was 100% focused on, you know, the Asia Pacific and that region, right, every day.
Right.
But now that I'm in a different space, I still think quite often about those experiences, especially my summer time in Shanghai. You know, being able to work into environments that are new, they're different. You know, and then plus you just bring the experiences that you have before. You bring a unique perspective, I think. And so I think that's been helpful. And then I think some of the things that I hit on earlier, right, is, you know, being able to put yourself out there, be vulnerable, be able to make mistakes. That's okay. You know, when you're rolling out a new process, right, or you're rolling out a new, you know, plan to your team, you kind of, you know, there's going to be some times where you're not going to get it right the first time, right?
Absolutely.
So I think that type of, theme has always stuck with me quite a bit in the, you know, the work life that I've had so far, right? But yeah, no, and I think the other thing too is I think about just more holistically, right, how things work. So, for example, you know, we have a big team. Everybody thinks differently. We're all, you know, we're all unique, right, which I think is important. That's why we have success on our team.
Right.
But everybody's got different things to say, right? Or they believe different things, which I think is one of the biggest benefits, right, of having a team. So one of the things I always think about is just making sure I listen properly and ensure that everyone's voice is heard. And I think that's something that I learned during my time in Asia.
Yeah, it's super important, because what you're talking about is not just diversity of background, but diversity of opinion. And hearing those diverse opinions is really good for teams. You're right. It's having everybody has the same opinion, you're not going to have great progress. But also having an open mind and being able to listen to and understand the fact that diversity of opinion matters is actually really important as well. And if that's one of the things that you learned while you were abroad or while you were traveling, then that's really significant.
Yeah, absolutely.
So when you were at school, and even today, do you encourage other students or even graduates that maybe haven't had the opportunity to travel to get that opportunity to find some way to go overseas, to participate in an internship program, just because it was so impactful for you? Do you encourage people to do that as well still?
Yeah, I think it's most definitely. Any student I talk to that's at, you know, that's at Rhodes, or anybody that I run into that's a little bit younger than I am, it's the first thing I tell people. The single most important thing to do when you're in school is to be abroad. Doesn't have to be Asia. It can be whatever country you think is, you know, right for you to visit. Right.
Right.
I think that is extremely important in, you know, creating your understanding of what the world is, understanding who you are, right. Understanding who other people are. I think, that type of environment, helps you, you know, in your professional career, in your relationships. I think it sets the stage to make sure you kind of have a general understanding of how everything works, right, and functions. But I also think the other thing too is you create relationships that you wouldn't have had before, right?
Right.
I was joking actually with some folks. There's some of the Next Step Connections people that back in 2011 when we were roommates, we still talk. It was 7 years ago. Some of the guys and girls did a reunion trip in Nashville this past weekend.
That's awesome, actually.
For Memorial Day, right? And I unfortunately wasn't able to go. I had a performance here in Austin, so I wasn't able to make it. But, you know, thinking about the relationships you cultivate and, you know, people still staying in touch after 7 summers, I think kind of speaks to the type of people, as you mentioned before, that, you know, want to take Chinese language, for example, right, or Japanese, right, whatever it is, right? I think everybody, we're all kind of similar in that regard, right? So we've all stayed in touch, which I think has been important.
Yeah, I mean, the connectivity is really important, and maintaining those connections is actually awesome. The fact that everybody tried to get together is really surprising,
yeah,
but really great. I didn't even think about asking about that, but that's really awesome.
Yeah, most definitely.
So one more thing I'll ask you, and then I'll let you go. What do you do to keep up with your Mandarin skills? You're not using them so much at work, but do you still find a way to keep it going?
Not as much as I want to, but I'm definitely still plugging in. I've been taking Skype lessons with an instructor every other week during my lunch break.
In
so
China?
She's actually based here in Austin. But
got it, okay.
The beautiful traffic makes sense to do things during the lunch break. So, been doing that, and then whenever I can pick up, a Chinese TV show or a book or something, always kind of keeps me engaged. But it's like riding a bike, right?
I was just gonna say.
Sometimes I wish I studied more, but talking to you and talking to my friends always back in Shanghai and Beijing makes me get more inspired to get back into it a little bit more. So. Probably gonna go read a book in Chinese after talking to you. So you got me inspired again.
That's my job. Look, Alex, it was awesome. It was awesome to talk to you. I really appreciate your time, and I hope to be able to catch up with you again soon. Thank you so much.
Hey, thanks, Michael. Have a good night.